Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone, Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 60 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Kendra Walsh. So thank you, Kendra.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing chapter 18 of...
Go ahead.
I was just moving my water, but
I need you. Oh, there it is. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs.
Yeah.
So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to maybe backflip into the details before we begin.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
We're just freshening up, just a smidge.
Yeah.
A little variation. So let's go into some weekly profit news. I'm just looking at the website, like little, what do you call that? Like a name, title, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's like a verbal thumbnail.
A verbal thumbnail.
Oh my God. Thumbnail.
Hold on. Are thumbnails usually verbal?
It's a verbal thumbnail.
No, they're a picture.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. So the weekly profit of this week is that Dan Radcliffe is returning to Broadway. And I actually... Woo!
Is he going to be...
Harry
in the nude.
Oh,
he's gonna be close.
I don't think so this time. Unfortunately, we missed our chance when he was in Equus.
Okay.
This was actually announced a while ago, and I missed it, and I'm bummed that I missed it.
That's okay. You're
but
now.
It hasn't started yet. Okay. Actually, it will have been started for 3 days by the time this episode comes out. Oh. But, he is going to be on Broadway in the world premiere of The Lifespan of a Fact. It's a play that follows the controversy surrounding John DeGatta's essay about the suicide of a Las Vegas teen.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's going to be a limited run that will begin on September 20th. And it says it's going to end on October 18th, but I feel like it's actually going to be longer than that.
That is really short.
Because I like looked at getting tickets for it for when we are in New York, and like I guess maybe Dan's run could be limited, possibly, but like tickets were still available for November, but so I'm not sure. But
that's weird. Why would you only do it for that short amount of time?
Because Dan is short.
I guess whenever he is short. But usually, like, sometimes whenever there's famous people doing roles. Like, I know whenever Katie and I are over in London on the West End, Orlando Bloom is doing something on the West End, but he's literally only doing it for, like, two performances.
Isn't Ian McKellen doing
something? Ian McKellen is on a play in the West End, too, but that's a much longer stint. He's, like, in it for a while. But we're taking two nights to see Cursed Child, so we're not doing another night on the West End. But
yeah,
I looked
that would
at
be a
it.
Lot.
But sometimes it's just shorter runs when it's like famous people.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like show biz. I guess.
But
I don't
he's
going to
play the character Fingal.
Fingal. Sounds like a Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got. Tickets are for sale now though. The cheapest are $100 in case anyone's curious. Cause I looked at it.
Jeez. Although there was some like flash sale going on, they made them $69. That's probably not going on when this comes out, but maybe they'll do it again.
You never know.
Yep.
I don't know though. I feel like they wouldn't have that hard of a time selling tickets for it.
Yeah. It's Harry Potter.
Well,
I mean, it's the guy that plays him. It's based on a true story though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, fact checker. And then like whatever he's fact checking, a lot of it's not facts.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. So that was short and sweet. Let's bring it to the recap.
Yeah. All right. So last time the trio could not believe that Buckbeak had been chopped.
Like the show chopped?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You've been chopped.
His dish was not good enough.
Whose dish?
They did not like his ferret puree.
Oh.
Minced ferret a la mode. I don't know.
Gross.
And episode title, that was quick and easy. As they were making their way back to the castle, Scabbers started freaking out and escaped from Ron. And we soon find out why. That giant black shaggy dog that's been lurking around Harry comes bounding out of nowhere. He grabs Ron and drags him under the Whomping Willow. Harry and Hermione follow him with the help of Crookshanks and discover that's not a dog at all. It's Sirius Black. Remus
God
finds
dong
his...
dong it. I mean, doggone it.
Oh my God. Can't be balls.
We tried.
Yeah.
Did I do that one right?
Watermelon. So Remus finds his way to the shack, and we find out he's been having a howling good time all year, really all his life. If that isn't enough to blow your mind, guess what? Scabbers ain't a rat.
He ain't.
Nope, he ain't.
He's not a mouse neither.
Nope.
Ugh, horrible.
Or a dribble.
Okay, so everyone is on the edge of their seats. Sirius wants to kill Peter. Ron is still adamant that it's not Peter, it's Scabbers. Lupin urges Sirius to wait because they all deserve to hear the whole story. And so he begins to tell the trio about their days at Hogwarts and the Marauder's Adventure, and even an event that dealt with Snapey Snape. Then, instead of a hidden Mickey, we have a hidden Snape under the invisibility cloak with a wand aimed at Lupin.
Well done.
Can we please just look for hidden Snapeys out in the world forever?
Where do you see a hidden Snapey Snape? Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, there was a hidden Snape on that cat.
I'm going to post it. I'm going to put a note right now to post that.
Oh.
Literally Snape's face in their fur.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Is its name Snape?
Hidden Snapey Snape. I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay. Noted.
All right.
Post hidden Snape in cat picture.
All right. So let's start by taking our initial reactions. If you remember them from your first read, when you read the last sentence from the previous chapter, an animagus said black by the name of Peter Pettigrew. What did you think? Do you guys remember?
I just remember, and I say it all the time, this is the book that made me fall in love forever with Harry Potter. Like, solidified everything because of these end chapters.
Yes, these last couple chapters are what blew my mind and made Harry Potter, like, come full circle to me. I feel like this is the first time that she really throws something in there that totally... just changes everything, you know? I mean, like, the ending of Sorcerers, yeah, she threw in the whole, like, Quirrell and Snape thing. But I don't think that that was
Quirrell
as big
and Snape
as this.
Thing?
Yeah, how like they thought it was Snape who was getting the Sorcerer's Stone, but then it was Quirrell. And it's like kind of like, whatever, you know, like Quirrell's not, you didn't have any attachment to him at all. Yeah. But like, this is the Marauders and like Lupin building you up to like the Marauders map and like learning about the history of Harry's dad and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
this to me was bigger than that. Like, yeah, this was the first big moment where it's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And I just remember being shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, but, what?
And like you said, I think in the last episode, you're like, these last chapters, like as soon as you finish that chapter, like you're finishing this book that day.
Yeah, you have to keep
you
going.
You can't stop.
Yeah. And I mean, unless you have super self-control, because right. I don't.
No. And like, I feel like with the other books, there was no real chapter that was like that, that like this. Like the ending of this book, I flew through this book because once you get to chapter, like, what, 17, 16, what are we on?
I don't know.
18?
18.
Yeah, like, once you get to 16, 17, it's like, okay, I'm finishing this book today. Like, yeah. It's, and I don't, I've never had that happen with a book before.
Mm. Yeah, I remember I just kept reading. Katie, what did you?
I just had to keep reading. And it was just like when they announced it was Sirius who was there, and then like you get to this track and like
so much happening at
you
one
think
time.
One thing, and now all of a sudden everything that you've thought this entire book is now changing.
It was
so
wrong.
Now I need to know,
you're like,
why.
Wait.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you hear that, you're like, hold on. He's so
dead.
Sirius is innocent?
Right.
And like it just makes you, because you've had this in your mind that Sirius is this horrible person the whole entire book. Yeah.
Yeah,
and now
you've
you're
hated
like,
him
wait,
the whole time.
He was framed? What? And it just,
yeah.
Do you remember, Sarah?
Joe's a queen.
I probably was along with Ron and didn't really believe it until I finished the book. Like, okay. I'm like, because you don't know. Things could still get even crazier.
That's true. So. That's true. I'm the type of reader where I just go where the author takes me.
So am I.
I just like, believe I what just, she says. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm
I fall
to be
for
thinking.
Their traps. Oh,
see, I'm like typically like the one person, like if I,
she's a
as
Ravenclaw.
We know, that I typically read the end of books. I don't always do it. So there are times like if I don't read the end and I will try to guess. So then at
so it's
the
like
end
a game.
I can be like, yes.
Yeah.
If I got it correct. Especially like mystery ones.
Are you always like suspicious? So you don't really trust your author?
It depends. I mean, it also depends on if I know my author. Like,
true.
Gosh, who wrote?
Well, like Joe had been known to change things in the
well,
previous
yeah.
book.
So like, but there's like people that they write a certain way. My sister's keeper. I can't remember who wrote that,
yes.
But she writes very similar. Like there's always a major twist at the end of it.
Okay.
So like my sister's keeper, like the book was going one way and the end, not it, like the movie and the book are completely different in the ending.
Okay.
So the whole thing was like, I did not see that coming. Yeah. So, like, reading another book of hers, I would know that
something's
going to
happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the first book you read of her is, like, a true first reaction. And then the others, you're like, I'm suspicious now.
Is that, like, Nicholas Sparks where someone
yeah.
usually
oh, my God,
dies?
Yeah.
Kristen
Everybody.
Hanna. Have you ever read Kristen Hanna? She's kind of the same
I don't.
Way.
I've never read Nicholas Sparks. I've only seen
someone
a couple
dies
of
in every
movies.
Book
the last,
but I do know that of.
My favorite Nicholas off topic, The Last Song, if you're going to read one. That's a good one.
Okay. I really liked
and The Notebook and A Walk to Remember.
A Walk to Remember was a good book.
Yeah,
they're like nice, not my kind. You know,
Kristen Hanna's great though, as well.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. So
Jodi Picoult.
Oh,
that's who
yeah,
wrote.
Yeah, my sister's keeper.
Yeah, so she writes a lot of books.
That's
like
good.
I'm sure we had listeners like screaming at their cars in their
I always
figured
it out.
All right, so.
We got there, guys. We got there.
Yes. Now that we heard our reactions, let's go to the trio. Quote, it took a few seconds for the absurdity of this statement to sink in. Then Ron voiced what Harry was thinking. You're both mental. Ridiculous, said Hermione faintly. Peter Pettigrew's dead, said Harry. He killed him 12 years ago. He pointed at Black, whose face twitched convulsively.
He's bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I probably have more reading. So Sirius bared his yellow teeth when telling them that he meant to kill Peter. And then he threw Crookshanks onto the floor. Why are you throwing your friend? And then lunged at Scabbers, who was still with Ron, and he landed on him, causing Ron to yell out in pain. Ouch. Because remember, his leg is broken.
Yeah.
His arm is also bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having a rough time.
In the movie, his leg is bitten. And yes. I don't think his leg actually breaks per se.
Yeah.
It's just like it's mauled from the bite.
Yeah. But
I forgot that he got dragged by his arm actually.
Yeah, so did I.
Until I read this again.
He got bit, then the leg broke on the tree root when he was trying to keep himself from going into the willow. Lupin launches himself forward and drags Sirius back from him because they have to explain, right? Harry needs to know the reasons for what they are doing. And Sirius was still trying to claw his way to get to Scabbers.
Thank God he's a rat and he's easy to contain pretty much.
Yeah. Otherwise this could have been.
Otherwise Lupin, I would have been like, shut up, dude. We got to do it. He's going to get away. Yeah.
He does anyway.
Well.
Oh, that's a big spoiler. Anyway.
People know.
Spoiler alert, he dies too.
Hold on,
actually,
really
everybody in that room is going to be dead except for the three youngest ones.
Yeah.
Yep. You are correct.
Including the guy hiding under the cape, cloak, whatever the hell it is.
The cape. The invisibility cape. What were we going to say?
I don't remember.
Cool.
Sorry.
Oh, I hear my daughter. All right. You owe Harry the truth, Sirius. Black doesn't care. Sorry. That was weird because it was like Sirius and then I wrote Black. So Sirius Black. He doesn't care and he just wants to commit the murder that he was put in Azkaban for. So we find out here, like, this is a lot of information, especially for things learned and discussed in 7.
Mm-hmm.
With the Secret Keeper and all of that jazz. And I don't know. Do you guys kind of wish that, like, he would have killed Pettigrew just then? Or do you think everything should have happened the way it did?
I think
it's hard.
It happens the way it's supposed to happen, but I would have loved him to be dead. But right. At the same time, you could think about that way back. If they had kept it, the Secret Keepers, like they were supposed to, Harry Potter's parents wouldn't be dead and Voldemort might have, you know, rained on.
Yeah.
Also, like, Sirius could have gone to Azkaban for good reason then, you know? I mean, like, he could have gone and not had a chance to get out, where at least now... I mean, now I know he doesn't get out legally or,
right. You
know, nobody ever knows he's really innocent, but he is able to be out of Azkaban, be with friends, be with family,
mm-hmm.
Until he dies.
Sad.
So,
very sad.
Which that wouldn't have happened had he killed Peter, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that could, I mean, obviously that would have changed everything.
Do you think, like, if you believe that, like, Sirius could, like, watch over Harry and all of that and the way that Wormtail actually dies, do you think that he was like, yeah, that's a good way for him to go?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think?
I don't know what you asked.
Like, if you think, like, Sirius can, like, watch over Harry, you know, after his death and stuff, and then he's, like, can, like, see the way that Wormtail actually died, do you think that he would think that that's
he
a death that suits that guy?
No, because I think the only way that Sirius would be satisfied is if he killed Peter himself. If
I can see that too.
Yeah.
I can see that, but I'm just thinking, like, he does get a death that is deserved.
Well, Harry tries to stop it too. You have to think.
If I was
he tried
serious,
to pull
I would have been like, Harry, leave him be.
He tried to pull
walk away.
The hand away.
Yeah, he does.
Ooh.
Well, Harry's a good man.
That he is.
Until he's a dad.
Anyways. So Ron says, y'all are nutters, and he tries to move, but dude, your leg's broken, right? He's like, I love that about him because he's still a Gryffindor and he's still mm-hmm. trying to make things happen, even though his leg is broken.
Ron mm-hmm. is super Gryffindor.
Yeah. And he's getting really annoyed with Lupin and Black calling Scabbers Peter, and he's trying to force the rat back into his pocket. So I wanted to pull up an article. It's called Behind the Scenes, Peter Pettigrew. It's on Pottermore. And it says, embodying a man who has lived as a rat for 13 years is no mean feat. No stranger to taking on parts that are little on the glamorous side, however. Timothy Spall, who is the actor who plays Peter Pettigrew.
He's such a rat looking guy.
He really is just so perfect.
But everything he's in, I'm like, ugh. He
yeah.
Look like a rat.
Yeah. He took the task with great gusto and with eerily convincing results. It says, Peter Pettigrew is a very shrewd, cowardly, weak, conniving, audacious, lying little character that is always ready to save his own skin. Apart from that, he's very nice and rather handsome, says Timothy Spall, who plays the human form of the rat known as Wormtail to the Marauders and Scabbers to the Weasley family. This is a man who has been a rat for the last 13 years, explains the Harry Potter and Prisoner of Azkaban director Alfonso Cuarón. And so he still has to behave and look like a rat. And so there's a really cool image on there about the five stages of rat to human. And it kind of goes through like his transformation. And I absolutely adore the human sketch.
I want to look at it.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I like the stage after rat.
I love looking at
the stage after rat. Is kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's just like crazy. It's cool to see mm-hmm. the different levels of like transforming. He does look pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Timothy.
I know. So if you go through there, you can see or you can read a lot about like what it takes to be the rat. And then there's a last image, or not a last image. The second to last image is from Deathly Hallows Part 2, and he's got the silver hand. Looks like he's still in, there you go, in those clothes from three. Like, why didn't you get any new clothes? But that's
Voldemort
neither here nor
has
there.
Other things to worry about.
I guess. But if you're raiding all those shops in Diagon Alley, you might as well pick up some new robes, right? Anyways. So Harry wants to get the story, so he pushes Ron back down onto the bed and gives his attention to Lupin. Harry's not buying anything without proof, and I feel like that's the smart thing to do, because a lot of the time, he doesn't need the proof. He goes with whatever his gut says.
Yes, very trusting sometimes.
Yeah, and so I really like this, that he's wanting to hear the story. And really, who wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a whole street full of people saw Sirius murder Peter, but Black Butt's in, and he says that those people didn't see what they thought they saw. Muggles.
They Which, of course, though, is there like, it is. Honestly, though, that's like the typical response of a murderer or like someone who committed a crime, right? I think. Like, oh, well, they didn't really see what they thought they saw. Like, okay.
Right.
All these people saw the wrong thing, but he's not lying.
Nope.
That's true.
He's correct.
Yeah, it's true.
But that would still make me, like, as Harry, that wouldn't be enough.
Yeah. So Lupin tells them that he was under that same impression, too, until he saw Peter on the map. And the map never lies. And so
he would know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, know. Peter's alive. Ron's holding him, Harry. And this was what Lupin says to him. And so I wanted to read Harry's thoughts. Says Harry looked down at Ron and their eyes met. They agreed silently. Black and Lupin were both out of their minds. Their story made no sense whatsoever. How could Scabbers be Peter Pettigrew? Azkaban must have unhinged Black after all. But why was Lupin playing along with him? It is a hard story to believe
at it on the outside.
But think about who he heard that story from. People who he, you know, respects and trust.
Yeah.
So how could they be wrong? And Hermione is the first to speak out of all of this, because the theory that Peter was an animagus, people would know because of the registry. And she says, because people would know if Peter Pettigrew had been an animagus. We all did animagi in class with Professor McGonagall, and I looked them up when I did my homework. The Ministry of Magic keeps tabs on witches and wizards who can become animals. There's a register showing what animal they become and their markings and things. I went and looked at looked Professor McGonagall up on the register, and there have been only 7 animagi this century, and Pettigrew's name wasn't on the list. So Harry takes a moment, and I love this, to marvel at the effort that Hermione put into her homework.
Yeah.
Lupin laughs at the genius of Hermione, and he says, right again, but this time she was missing one key piece of information. The ministry didn't know that there were 3 illegal and unregistered animagi running around Hogwarts.
We actually know of four, right? Because of Rita.
Oh, yeah.
Rita
Skeeter. Yep.
We learn about her soon. All right. So there's a cool article on Pottermore about the Wizarding World and illegal animagi. It does say.
Mage. I don't know.
Animagi.
Sure.
I think both sound cool. It's like tomato, tomato.
So it says here, as Tiffany just said, Professor McGonagall is one of just seven that are registered in the last century. Hermione tells us that the Ministry's improper use of magic office keep close tabs on wizards with this ability.
Interesting.
Mostly because look at what Sirius was able to do as an animagus, right? I mean, he could escape Azkaban because...
What department does that? Like, that's a lot of work to do. Like, what if you're just like a regular person and you just want to be an animagus, right? And somebody's going to keep tabs on you?
Right.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like the trace where, like, they know every time you transform?
I would hope so. Otherwise, they're, like, skulking and stuff all the time.
I think that probably when it says they keep tabs on you, it just means, like, if you get in trouble, they know it's you.
What if you have to, like, go in every few months and be like, hi, I'm here, transformed, these are my markings still. I wonder if you can change. Like, could Sirius change his fur color if he wanted to?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
No?
I wouldn't think so.
I think in my section it says something about how because so many things can go wrong as well.
Yeah.
That's another reason they keep close tabs on it.
Yeah. So it says the ability to transform into animals was sometimes a scary business, though. A near riot was caused by a group of 14-year-olds from the Ugandan Wizarding School Wagadu at the International Symposium of Animagi. Their synchronized transformation into elephants and cheetahs intimidated some of the older and more experienced witches and wizards.
What if you became an elephant? That's amazing.
You can't be inside.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how much could you really do with that, though? You know.
What if the first time you did it, you're like in this small room, and then
I feel like though, if you think about it, so like they're from Uganda, so it would make sense and fit in that area more so that
right.
They turn into those types of animals. And I would think that you turn into something that matches where you're from.
Maybe I would think
because, I mean, you can't live in Africa and turn into something that doesn't thrive in that environment, you know?
Like a whale.
Right.
No!
I mean, honestly, though, because, like, what if you live in Hawaii or one of the islands or something? You could potentially turn into a fish of some sort because it would make sense that you're close to water.
Yeah, but what if you want to, like, chill out on land and then you're, like, a fish?
Sucks to suck.
I mean, I think you wouldn't die in your animagus form just because you weren't in water.
You're just going to, like, flop?
You have to be, like, SpongeBob. Put a bowl over
it. I need it!
So, a little background on illegal animagus is that we know of, which would be James, Sirius, and Peter. They worked for 3 years to become animagi. I'm having real trouble with this. I don't know how to pronounce it, and I keep changing it. And they did this to keep Remus company during the full moon because he was dangerous to humans, but not other animals.
Mm-hmm.
So James was a stag, Sirius was a dog, and Peter is a rat, as we know. So Sirius tells Lupin to hurry up with telling the story about how Peter is an animagus. Mm-hmm. So they hear a creak in the hallway, but Lupin goes out to check and doesn't see anybody and says that there's nobody there. But this is when Snape enters in the invisibility cloak.
So right? He hears everything
so
from now on.
So he's hearing this whole thing.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Just to like put into perspective so that you guys can understand. Starting now, Snape is listening. So Ron says that the place is haunted, but Lupin explains, no, it's actually not. The reason why people thought that it was haunted is because the Shrieking Shack was built for him to transform. The screams and howls heard from the building by the villagers were actually Remus. During his transformations, obviously.
This hurts my soul.
So here, he already blames himself for this entire situation. He says, none of this would have happened had he not become a werewolf. Which I think is sad. Because, I mean, I guess, if you really want to take it back that far, like, yeah, possibly. But you still could have become friends with these people.
Yeah.
Peter still could have betrayed them.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to get away like he did because he probably wouldn't have become an animagus. Yes.
Only Remus could put this on his shoulders.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Literally what this means
he
is
literally
he
tries
putting,
to carry the world on his shoulders.
He's putting James and Lily's death on himself. He's putting Sirius being framed on himself. And he's putting Peter's bad behavior on himself.
Mm-hmm. Dumbledore also does that too.
He does.
You're right.
He's guilty for a lot of it.
Yeah.
But he does put everything on him there at the end.
He does. You're right.
Yeah. I think they're just, I mean.
That just shows good characters.
Agreed.
So.
They just have good hearts. You know?
Yeah.
So we discussed this in length in our Remus episodes, but from what it says in the book, I'll tell you a little bit about how Remus became a werewolf. So he was very small when he was bit. His parents tried everything, but there was no cure. And the potion that Snape has been making for him is a very recent discovery, mm-hmm. and it keeps him safe. As long as he takes it the week before the full moon, he can keep his mind when he transforms. So he doesn't fully turn into a werewolf. He looks like one on the outside, but it's Remus on the inside. Which is huge, obviously, because then he doesn't hurt himself. He's not going to go out and attack humans.
He doesn't have that urge to kill or destroy.
He literally just curls up in his office, a harmless wolf, and waits for the moon to wane again.
I love that term, like harmless wolf. I want to snuggle like a Fozzie bear.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's Fozzie when he's like curled as tight in the ball as he can get.
Yeah.
I don't want to cuddle it.
So he says, before the Wolfsbane potion was discovered, he did become a fully fledged monster once a month, and it seemed impossible that he would ever be able to come to Hogwarts. Other parents didn't want their children to be exposed to him. But then Dumbledore became headmaster, and he was sympathetic towards Remus. So they took precautions for him, or Dumbledore did. So he says to Harry, I told you months ago that the Whomping Willow was planted the year I came to Hogwarts, but the truth is it was planted because I came to Hogwarts. This house, the tunnel that leads to it, they were all built for me. Once a month, he was smuggled out of the castle into the Shrieking Shack to transform. The tree was placed at the tunnel to stop anyone from coming across me while I was dangerous.
Oops, sorry.
So, it's okay. So, Harry is taking all of this in because, like, obviously, he's found out now already that Lupin is a werewolf, but now he's getting more of the backstory on it. Like, and I hope that Ron is listening closely to this story too, so that he can understand mm-hmm. that Remus isn't a monster. He's not something to be scared of. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Dumbledore taking him in and being so accepting, I think what has, I mean, this is headcanon, but what I think has a lot to do with that is Ariana, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
His sister, you know, being who she was and how she was treated.
Yeah, she was definitely an outcast.
I think it made him super sympathetic and empathetic toward people who were maybe not so much accepted by the wizarding community. It made him, he has a soft spot for those people, I think.
I like that a lot.
Because, like, you know, when Dumbledore talks about for the greater good, he means it differently than Grindelwald meant it. You know, like they both said for the greater good.
Not at first.
No, I think he kind of did.
No. He was with him. He didn't want to get it the way that Grindelwald wanted to get it. But I believe this is true that he was like, it was for the Muggles' own good.
Right.
Right? He wanted to do it a different way.
He was thinking about it in a different perspective.
Yes. But he still wanted wizards to be superior. Over. Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right. If I'm wrong, me on it.
It's been a while since I read.
I was right about the wolfish glory.
You were.
Oh, yeah. Someone found that for you. That was awesome.
So Harry, in his mind, is saying that he could see where the story was going, but he was listening raptly all the same. The only sound apart from Lupin's voice was Scabbers frightened squeaking.
Yeah, I bet
so
you're scared.
As you can tell, Peter's getting more scared and more scared because, like, the truth is finally coming out. This whole huge story.
Lightning bolt round. What do you think he's squeaking in those words?
shut up.
Oh, no.
I think it's a lot of curse words.
A lot of swears. You owe me a Coke? Yes, for the first time.
There are cokes upstairs. Yes. If you would like to borrow, then owe me. It's like I'm a loan shark.
So Lupin explains that his transformations back in those days were terrible. It was very painful for him. He was separated from humans so that he couldn't bite them. So because of that, he just bit and scratched himself, which I think is why they had to have Madame Pomfrey know, because she had to help him after the moon.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yes. So villagers always said that it must have been particularly violent spirits in that house because it was screaming that they would hear.
I wonder if the Bloody Baron was ever like, I'm going to go there, and then got chickened out.
Probably.
Nope, never mind.
But Dumbledore encouraged that rumor because he wanted, you know, villagers to not approach it.
It's like haunted houses, you know, like around Halloween time. They're like, oh, yeah, that did happen in a haunted house one time, when it's just they come up with it themselves.
This line hurts my heart, though, because Lupin says, but apart from my transformations, I was happier than I had ever been in my life. For the first time ever, I had friends, three great friends, Sirius Black, Peter Pettigrew, and, of course, your father, Harry, James Potter.
Oof. My heart.
Suck it, Peter.
Peter.
Right.
All right. So he continues on with this story. So James.
Katie, I'm looking at your part.
What?
You thrive in this book.
I love this book so much.
It took her a long time to do her notes.
I can tell.
Leave me alone, okay?
No, I'm loving it. It's good.
So James, Sirius, and Peter couldn't help but notice that Remus was disappearing once a month. I think if you're best friends with somebody, you would kind of like catch on to that pretty quick.
Pretty quick, yeah.
So he would make up all sorts of stories. Like,
I think Remus is pretty naive to think that nobody would catch on to it, especially if he made friends.
I think it's just wishful thinking.
I wonder if other people did. Like, I mean, you're there for 7 years and you're only gone for three or four months out of the year? So every other, that's a lot of transformations. So someone not to catch on. Like, he goes away every month. You know what I mean?
How long is he away?
I would guess that it might be 2 days a month because he's got to have like a recovery day after.
But they can go home, right? At any time, can they? On the weekends and stuff? Like if it lands on a weekend or whatever?
I'm sure you could. Maybe. See why anybody would stop you.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like side-along apparition. Like if you go to Hogsmeade and your parents are like there and then they're like, let's go. Because life is lived outside of Hogwarts. You know, no, what if somebody's getting married or a funeral or something, you know?
Or like teachers. I always wonder, I'm like, does every single teacher live in the castle? They can't. I would think some have their own lives with families and...
I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, because how do you have a family?
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to have your 2-year-old running around the castle. I mean, maybe, I guess. But
there's a little nursery where the house elves take care of babies during the day.
Oh my gosh! Yes!
So cute.
They're like changing diapers.
Headcanon. Yep. Accepted.
Done.
Oh, God. So he comes up with all these stories like, oh, my mom's sick. I have to go home and see her. Because he was absolutely terrified if they found out, they're going to desert him. And these are his only friends he's ever had. He finally has friends. He finally feels like he belongs. Like, he can't lose them.
Yeah.
But, of course, they did find out the truth, as we know. And they didn't desert him at all. Quote, they did something for me that would make my transformations not only bearable, but the best times of my life. They became animagi. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
We don't know.
So Harry's, like, astounded. He's like, my dad, too? So it took the best part of 3 years for them to work it out. James and Sirius were the cleverest students in school, which is a good thing because...
They remind me of Fred and George. They've got to be clever, but they don't have to put a lot of effort into their schoolwork, but they do well.
Yeah. Well, like Hagrid said, Fred and George would give them a run for their money.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing that they were so smart because animagus transformations can go terribly wrong, which is, like I said, is another reason the ministry keeps such a close watch on those people attempting it.
I would want to learn how to do it.
I know.
I would, but I don't know. That's a lot of
work.
Yeah.
So Peter needed all the help he could get from James and Sirius, and they finally managed to do it in their 5th year. So I did cover this in an earlier episode, but I didn't do a good job of it, so okay. I'm going to do a proper job of it this time.
But she's like, I just didn't do a good job. I need to do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again.
So Joe did release How to Become an Animagus. And I guess the whole story is in a short story called Hogwarts of Power, Politics, and Pesky Poltergeists, which I think you can get off.
This is one of those Audible. E-books.
Yeah, it's one of the e-books.
Yeah.
We have it. You can read it if you'd like.
Oh, well. So the thing is like, I enjoy e-books. Yes. I read them. I use them for this podcast.
I want
Give
a real
it to
one.
Me.
Yes.
For real, I want to hold it.
Yes.
I want it on my shelf.
I agree. So these are the steps. There are 5 steps that we know of, the bulk of it. So step 1, you have to hold a mandrake leaf in your mouth for a full month. You can't take it out when you eat. You can't take it out when you sleep. And if it comes out or you swallow it, you've got to start over.
Who's the chicken Charlie in the chocolate factory with the gum?
Violet Beauregard.
Does she like tuck it up like when she eats or anything?
Yeah.
Like
no, she puts it behind her ear.
Oh, darn.
There. Violet, you're turning violet, Violet.
So after that, at the next visible full moon, that's very important, you must put the spit-soaked leaf in a vial within range of the moon's pure rays. So if the moon is hiding behind clouds or it's not directly visible, you have to start all over with another month of sucking on a mandrake leaf.
Sucking on it.
So you're making a potion, essentially. So it also needs other ingredients, including dew that hasn't been exposed to sunlight or human feet for a full 7 days.
Dang.
So it's speculated that maybe you have to collect this like beforehand. That might be helpful. So you have that in stock. So if you get that far, you have to make sure your potion's hidden out of sunlight. Sunlight is very bad for it. Mm. And after that, you have to wait possibly for a while because you can't take the potion until a lightning storm strikes.
Interesting. Do you think that sunlight's bad for it? Because it's like hiding you. And like you need to be like in the dark, you know,
in the shadows.
I like that. Yeah.
So every day you're waiting for that storm to come at sunrise and sunset. You have to say Amato Animo Animato Animagus. So that can go on for days, weeks, or months.
I would try and line it up with summer.
Yeah. So that's like the bulk of it. The rest involves preparing to transform, drinking the potion you're making, and repeating that incantation. So Joe's detailed instructions includes the warning, don't panic. Keep on keeping on. So Harry asks, well, how did this help you, them becoming Animagus? Animagi? Animagi?
We're not going to get off of this.
So Remus is like, they couldn't keep me company as humans, but they could keep me company as animals. Because like Meg said, a werewolf is only a danger to people. Yes.
So on our Remus Felix Files, we talked a little bit about like if you can remember during your transformation. Mm. I would think that this proves that you probably can.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because we did speculate on that.
I wonder though, like,
is it just flashes or is it like full memory?
Or if it's like once you're like in that role for a while. Like, because I would assume that when you first transform, you're probably, like, freaking out.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wonder if that has anything to do with it or if you always remember. Because if you, oh, gosh, if you think about, like, people, like, biting other people and then, like,
to
you
have
transform.
To remember that and, like, you couldn't stop it from happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yep.
But it has to be somewhat clear because this is why, I mean, he knows just as much about the grounds as the other three.
Yeah.
So he has to remember some of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
No, I think you remember.
Yeah.
Well, I think they also, like, once they made the map, also went around as themselves, not
probably, yeah.
Transformed.
Probably.
And saw the sights of Hogwarts.
Saw the sights. I would like to see the sights of Hogwarts.
Same.
So every full moon, James, Sirius, and Peter would sneak out of the castle under the invisibility cloak and would transform. Peter, being the smallest, would press the knot on the Whomping Willow, and they would slip under the tunnel and join him at the Shrieking Shack.
I love how all of them transformed into, like, the perfect things.
That don't look weird on the grounds.
Not only that. Well, not only that, but also, like, there was one that was small enough to be able to stop, to push the knot.
Yeah.
And then, like, Sirius was similar to Remus in being, like, a dog. But then James was big enough where he could kind of keep up with them, but he was different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, the perfect combination of animals.
Do you think they, like, match their personalities?
Possibly.
Sirius is definitely doggish.
You guys have to think about that. Like,
and Peter is a rat.
Peter's like, a
stags
rat.
Are pretty proud.
But like yeah. proud and like
majestic.
Still rough and tumble though with those antlers, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think they match the personalities pretty well.
Yeah.
I would hope that I would change into a dog. That's what I'm just.
But like how big would he have been as a stag to fit in the tunnel under the tree if they had to be bent over almost in half?
Yeah, how would he get in there?
He would just have to get through the hole and then transform back, but the branches are done, so maybe they transformed back into people right before they went in.
Yeah, but like what if Remus
I don't know
there?
Well, think about what they're doing anyway. They don't they're daredevil kids
doing something ridiculously dangerous. What is that to them?
I don't know, but that's a really good point.
Yeah, you can't fit in there. There's no way.
No,
those antlers.
I guess it depends how big his antlers are though too.
Do you think but they like, grew as he grew? Did he have little nubs?
Oh my gosh.
I would think that like a stag would still be massive anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he's transformed
well, if
into a full size, like an adult version,
he would probably just have to put his head mm-hmm. down because if you're standing next to a deer, like you're probably as tall as their head is, but if they like were to lay flat, their back is probably like if you were crouched.
Yeah, but they can't.
It would
like,
probably be similar.
Girl, magic
deer,
guys,
deer
magic
a lot
bigger than
they
magic.
Made it work.
Deer Joe,
but like, can we know like the dimensions of the hole?
Tell us everything.
Yeah.
So Remus said, under their influence, I became less dangerous. My body was still wolfish, but my mind seemed to become less so while I was with them. So that had to be like really nice.
He probably
for him.
Hated summer.
Oh God. Yeah. I can't even imagine like after say like after fifth year, they have a full year of him feeling better. And then that first summer of not being with them again, that would suck. So Sirius starts getting...
We don't know. They might have hung out.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know
Wait,
if...
don't they say who hung out at the Potters?
Sirius,
yeah. Okay. I don't know if Remus's parents would be like, yeah, go down in the cellar with them. It's cool.
Right.
They'd probably be like, wait a minute. You're a what?
Wait, hold on.
You're a wizard.
Plus, Remus's dad worked for the ministry, so they probably wouldn't want to tell him.
So, yeah, but if you have a werewolf as a son, I don't think you're judging people too hard or telling on people.
True. So Sirius starts getting impatient, tells Remus to hurry up. He's still watching Scabbers with a horrible sort of hunger on his face. So he's still got that one-track mind, just wants to kill him. So now that they could all transform, there was highly exciting possibilities open to them. They were soon leaving the shack, roaming the grounds and the village at night. Sirius and James were so large they could keep a werewolf in check. And Remus says, I doubt whether any Hogwarts student ever found out more about the Hogwarts grounds and Hogsmeade than we did. And that's how we came to write the Marauder's Map. And this is where my life changed. And sign it with our nicknames. Sirius is Padfoot. Peter is Wormtail. James was, that's so sad, Prongs.
Oh.
Is, was. I caught that this time and had feels.
Yeah.
So Harry starts asking, well, what sort of animal?
Dad was he.
Good dad.
Was my dad a good dad?
He's a dead one.
Oh. What sort of animal? But then Hermione cuts him off, and she's like, that's still really dangerous, running around the dark with a werewolf. What if you'd given the others the slip and bitten somebody?
Yeah, she would bring that up.
So it was a thought that still haunted Remus, and he says that there were many near misses, but they just laughed about him afterwards. They were young. They were thoughtless. They were just carried away with their own cleverness.
Maybe those were the near misses, getting into the tunnel every time.
Yeah, it was all with James.
Because you have to think about how big Remus would get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was like, if wait, isn't he already in there?
Yeah,
Madame Pomfrey is in there. So maybe once they get inside the lower level, then they transform. But then you've got like a stag walking up the steps. It all is very weird to think about.
Yeah, but they would exit
but what if
the Whomping Willow while
with
he was
him.
Transformed.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's all just...
It's weird.
I need to see it. Canon form.
I need to be a fly on that wall.
Yeah.
A billywig.
Yeah.
Good one. Okay. So Remus basically tells him how he has a lot of guilt from like those school days for all that they did. And he feels guilty for betraying Dumbledore's trust because Dumbledore has done so much for Lupin, getting him back, getting him to Hogwarts when no other headmaster would have. And he had no idea that Lupin and co were breaking all of the rules. He never knew I had led three fellow students into becoming animagi illegally. I don't know why I just said it like that. But I always managed to forget my guilty feelings every time we sat down to plan our next month's adventure. And I haven't changed. And I said, he may be the reason they became animagi, but they like chose to do that for their friend.
Yeah,
true. So
it just shows you.
Yeah, but Lupin's going to take that on.
Correct.
That's how he is.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah.
So I said, he shouldn't feel guilty, but alas, that's his personality. So the entire year that Sirius had been trying to get after Harry, but really Peter, Remus was battling with himself on whether or not he should tell Dumbledore that Sirius is an animagus.
We're messing you up.
And there are secret passages into the castle and he would that he knew about and that Sirius would also know about. Ultimately, he decided not to tell him because it would mean that he would then have to admit to all the things that they did when they were younger, breaking all the rules, all that stuff. And Lupin doesn't want Dumbledore to look at him differently. Dumbledore's trust of him means everything to him. He says, he let me into Hogwarts as a boy, and he gave me a job when I had been shunned all my adult life, unable to find paid work because of what I am. And I was so convinced myself that Sirius was getting into the school using dark arts he learned from Voldemort, that being an animagus had nothing to do with it. So in a way, Snape's been right about me all along. Since Sirius finally takes his eyes off of Scabbers to look at Lupin, and he's surprised with the mention of Snape and asks what he has to do with it. And Lupin lets Sirius know that Snape is a teacher at Hogwarts and that he tells the trio how Snape went to school with them. And he also fought very hard against Lupin working at Hogwarts. He had been telling Dumbledore for a long time that Lupin was not to be trusted. And Snape has his reasons not to trust Lupin and friends because a trick that Sirius played on him in school that almost got him killed, and it involved Lupin. And so Sirius makes a noise and sneered, saying, it served him right, sneaking around, trying to find out what we were up to, hoping he would get us expelled. And I mean, like,
no.
That's just a tad extreme.
Yeah, that doesn't, because trying to kill someone because you're sneaking out of the castle.
Yeah, like no. Being expelled versus literally dying, like, not about that life.
Yeah.
As in, like, this is where I should have had reservations about Sirius, but then like he just became so cool that I was just like, oh, it's Sirius.
Yeah,
but now reading it as an adult,
very well, yeah.
Reading it as an adult, I'm like, Sirius, you're kind of a jerk sometimes.
Yeah.
So Snape was very interested in where Lupin went every month. They were all in the same year at Hogwarts, and as we know, the Marauders did not get along with Snape, to say the least. And Lupin says that Snape may have been jealous of James with, like, his Quidditch stardom and all that stuff.
And Lily.
So one night, Snape saw Lupin crossing the grounds with Madame Pomfrey towards the Whomping Willow so he could go to the Shrieking Shed to transform. He doesn't know this, though. And Sirius thought it would be amusing to tell Snape about the knot on the tree so he could make the Whomping Willow stomp whomping so he could see what Lupin was up to.
How do you think that conversation went? Because these two people hate each other.
I thought of that this time, too.
So, like, where are you talking? How did it...
Why would Snape trust anything Sirius said? Why would he be like, well, okay, I'll go look?
Well, he's a kid.
I know, but he hates this guy. Wouldn't he be like, maybe he's trying to pull something on me?
I don't know.
Unless he was
just so eager to know. Mm-hmm.
I want to know how the conversation even started. Like, if that's all I know, cool.
Yeah, like, what would make Snape be like, oh, I'm going to let him approach me and talk to me about this, you know?
Because,
like,
if
normally
they,
Snape...
Maybe they were taunting each other.
Or like in class, and Sirius was like talking about it, and he like on purpose made
Set
Snape
it to
over
James
here
to overhear yeah. or something. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
So of course Snape tried it, and had he gotten to the house, he would have met a fully grown werewolf. But James had heard what Sirius had done, so I'm betting Sirius was probably bragging about it, being like, I got him to touch.
Bet
the
it was
knob.
In the common room. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then James went after Snape and pulled him back at great risk to his life. But Snape did get a peek at what Lupin really was.
God, so he got far.
That's really close.
Yeah. So Dumbledore made sure that Snape couldn't tell anyone. He literally says in the book he was forbidden to speak about it. Mm-hmm. But from then on, he knew what Lupin was. So Harry's in like, whoa, so that's why that dude hates you. And I said, that's not the only reason, Harry. The only reason.
Yeah.
Then a cold voice sneered behind Lupin. That's right. Professor, blah, 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 blah. So Severus Snape, the eavesdropper, pulled off the invisibility cloak and he had his wand pointed at Lupin.
Every time I read this, it's like the first time and I'm like, ee!
And you can't stop reading.
Yes, yeah. Every time.
Like this is the second chapter in a row where it's like, you got to roll to the next one.
You can't.
And that's why when I was texting you, however long ago I finished this book, I couldn't stop reading. And that's, and I wanted to get all my notes done so I could start Goblet. And Goblet, you guys, it's so much better than I remember it to be. Yeah. It's I'm so kind of excited good.
To feel that way because I haven't in a long time.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Sorry, somebody asked us on Instagram, what book would you leave behind? You were the only one that said Goblet.
Yep.
And I'm really curious.
Did we all say Chamber?
Yeah, I'm curious to see
if your answer will change after reading it again.
I bet it will.
I'll be honest. I'm walking into it with an open mind. I promise. Yeah. I promise.
Because do you remember the last time you read it?
No, because I always it's been I'm, like, a I'm gonna do a time. Reread. I always get through prisoner. To prisoner, and yeah. then I stop.
Well, not today,
not today, not this time.
And I will say, anytime I did reread Goblet, I skipped the first chapter.
God, you gotta.
We're not this time.
Don't look at
this
me.
Is no. This I, is where I we realize
read the last
that
chapter at least twice.
Harry's a seer. This is where you can get a big yeah. chunk of that.
I had read it. In-depth conversation with
I will read
that.
It this time, but I'm just saying normally I would skip it.
Yeah, well, normally.
I find it boring. Normal is wrong. Out the window.
All right, lightning bolt round question.
I have one. At what point would you start to believe Lupin?
Immediately.
When I'd see the transformation.
Really? So at this point you still wouldn't believe
it? I need to see it.
I'd have doubts. Reservations, as one would say.
I'd have
you
to see
the proof
it.
In the pudding, right? Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely give room for explanation, just like Harry did.
Yeah.
I think I would have believed him after he said that they were Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, and they wrote the Marauder's map. Because yeah, he said the fair. Map never lies, and like he would know that because he wrote it.
Yeah, but like, I don't know if I believe that the map never lies. Like, I feel like that's like a very hard statement to say. Like, something's perfect, the map never lies.
Right.
Like,
But it doesn't.
Yeah, but how come no one, his brothers didn't notice that Peter Pettigrew was sleeping with Ron?
Because they're non-judgmental.
Like, where is he then?
Yeah.
Well, Peter, yeah, I don't know.
We have no answer for that.
Dear Joe.
Yeah, honestly, though.
I feel like that was answered somewhere, but I can't remember what the answer was.
I don't remember.
Well, if you find it, let us know. What other questions do we have?
Do you really think that Dumbledore was completely blinded to all of the things they did when they were in school?
No.
That's a really good question.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think he knows everything, but I think he knew that.
Like, I don't think he's dumb. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. But think about all the things that he does know, and you're like, Dumbledore knows everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But do you really think he knew that they were animagi?
Well, see, Dumbledore knows, like, when Harry went and found the Mirror of Erised.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Dumbledore to know that Harry was walking around and saw the Mirror of Erised. He found that out. Mm-hmm. I can see him seeing something like this.
Dumbledore,
I don't think
Dumbledore knew that Sirius was innocent. I mean, he was scared whenever he didn't. So, like,
no,
if he knew that they were animagi, I'm sure he would have said something.
Yeah, but you have to think, like, this is his school. He's got a werewolf under the roof. He's got Madame Pomfrey taking care of him, right? I'm thinking he's probably going to be peeping in a little window, watching stuff go down, you know?
Yeah.
He's not just going to every month, he's like, okay, cool, Madame Pomfrey, I'll see you. Thanks for the earmuffs. And not chuck up on his little werewolf cub. Pup. I don't know. What do you call him?
I don't think he knows about the invisibility cloak yet. I think that's a James secret still, because James gives it to him later. So that's
when they were at school.
Yeah, so that's something they have going for
them. When did James's dad pass away to pass it down? Or did he pass it down before?
Probably passed it down before, because he was still alive pre-Harry being born, but like post them, I believe, graduating Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he probably gave it to him when he was like young.
And then James had it at school. Give it to Albus until like right before they went into hiding, right?
Now, did they know? I'm so off. Did they know that it was a Hallow?
I think that he had
suspicions
it was.
I know Dumble did.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know about.
I'm talking about the Potters.
James,
his dad, probably whatever.
Not. I kind of want to say yes.
Because then you have to go to, they believe in the Deathly Hallows in their entirety.
Right, because like obviously Harry wouldn't know because James would have never had the opportunity to tell him.
I mean, they knew it was something special because of how many years it's been around and been passed down it's still
good condition it is.
Correct, yeah.
I think that, that's me. I think that they would know about it because like I would think that you would know your ancestry line.
I mean, I don't doubt that they knew that they were part of the Peverell family, but do they believe the story that goes with them? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
This is a little bit off topic, but there's a theory that with the map only shows the name of the anime guy when the user knows that the person is an anime guy. Oh. So that makes sense.
Oh, that's a good theory.
So it would have just said Scabbers.
Or anything. Does it show animals?
Firstly.
Did it show Mrs. Norris?
Yeah.
It does
at least.
Because what do you see? Every kid's animal.
Oh, true.
I don't know if that's a movieism or not.
Okay.
Do you want me to read what else they said in this? Or do you want to talk?
Is it a movieism that Harry sees Peter on the map?
Yes.
That's a movieism,
isn't it?
In the middle of it, but
yeah,
we just read this book.
No, it is. But yes, oh my god!
Yes, it's the movieism that he sees it on the map.
Yes,
in the book, Lupin is the one that sees it.
God, I never realized that.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Because this is what it says. Firstly, nobody except Professor Lupin can see Pettigrew and Sirius on the map in the Prisoner of Azkaban. And it says, before you say yes, strictly talking about the books, not the film. Why? Because he's seen the pair transform into their animals many times before. And then Snape travels to the Shrieking Shack at the end of the book three because he sees Lupin and Sirius on the map. Both were in human form at the time. So he doesn't see Pettigrew because Pettigrew was still Scabbers.
Mm, that makes sense.
I love it.
It's so good.
Third point is Rita Skeeter in Goblet of Fire. Her animagus is never spotted on the map by Harry. Why? Because Harry didn't know that she was an anime guy.
I love it.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's from Reddit. It's from Reddit.
Thank you, Reddit person.
Theorist. A weird name that I can't spell.
What does it start with? Just give us the first letter.
A-N-U-R-A-G-K-A-D-I-Y-A-L-A.
Thank you, D-I-Y. Yeah. Theory is DIY.
Whew. Well, that theory fits, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Copy this article from Radio Times.
Yes,
I got sweaty.
So sweaty.
Whew. I love it. All right, any more questions?
What would you want to turn into?
Dog. I say it every time. Fozzie Bear. I want to be Fozzie Bear.
That's very rare.
Really hard.
Like an eagle. Mm. To the sea.
I feel like I would turn into a dog, but I'd want to be a cat.
Why would you think that you would be a dog?
I just feel my personality is more doggish than cat.
Breed?
Because you're loyal. Cats are loyal.
That's true.
You're being generous.
My cats are loyal.
Most cats are not, though.
But my little kitty is.
That's not how you say Allah.
I figured I spelled it wrong.
It's A and then La mode.
Got it.
And I believe the first A has an accent, but I don't know which accent it is.
I will look it up.
All right, what breed of dog are you?
I don't know.
Mm. Can we give her a breed? Yeah, what breed do you think Katie would be?
A Labrador.
A labby.
No, they're very energetic. You don't seem like someone that has a lot of energy all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I can, but yeah, not all the time.
I feel. You're right. Now, it doesn't match your size. But
it's a Great Dane.
A Great Dane.
Sweet.
Because they will be energetic and they have like their little like spurts. But then on the whole, they just like to lounge.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Taylor Swift's parents have a Great Dane. Its name is Kitty.
That was your I got a girlfriend moment.
Yeah, it's really cute.
No, I like those dogs.
I wanted a Great Dane for a long time. It's a great dog to have. Like, I mean, you probably can't have it in an apartment because they're very big.
They're very big.
You can't take them on like super long walks. Yeah. Because they have joint issues and heart problems.
I'm going to get a mandrake leaf and I'm going to do the thing and then I'll be your part-time Great Dane.
Okay. I don't know what
I would be. I think I'd like to be a fox, but you can't match your Patronus, right? It usually doesn't match your Patronus.
Right. I think it's...
Oh, wait, no, but...
Personality.
Hold on.
I think it depends.
What does it say?
It can match your Patronus.
At the top of the article,
but it doesn't always, I think, is how they say it.
Rather like Patronuses, the creature they become cannot be chosen, but reflects an aspect of their personality.
I think I had something too, but continue.
I don't know what
I
would
be. One of those Siamese cats.
Me?
Yeah.
Am I talkative?
If you please.
Siamese cats are very talkative.
You know, I feel like you're a little bit sassy, but you still like to snug the people you love.
So you're comparing me to the cats in Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah. Evil.
Your animagus and Patronus animals can be the same.
That's pretty cool.
They may not be, though.
Okay.
Because what if you become an animagus at a different part in your life that you learn a Patronus and your personality may have changed by then? You
know? We know that your Patronus can change.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think your animagus one can.
No.
No, I don't think it changes.
Your Patronus can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it could be different.
Yeah. Ah, I see. So maybe it was the same in the beginning and then later in life it changes.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up what you're throwing down. All right, any more questions?
I don't think so. It's a short chapter.
Let's roll on through this because I got my Broncos to watch.
I'm
going to say
something that's kind of controversial. I'm ready for us to be done with this book. I'm ready for Goblet.
I'm not.
This is where I love to live, right here.
I'm excited to get it done. I'm not going to lie because I'm ready for Goblet. I'm ready to get... I'm ready... this makes me sound like a terrible person. I'm ready to get dark. I'm ready to get dark. Yeah. I'm ready to get seedy.
But
I'm ready
to get dark.
Yeah, this is where
I want to get gross.
The end of I love the end of this book.
Goblet is going to take us a long time, and I'm going to get over that real quick too. Not real quick, but I'm going to be over way before we finish it.
Will you change stuff about Boston?
It's going to take us into July, probably August of next year.
Yeah,
it's going to take almost a year.
Long time.
Which means order will take a year, probably.
Oh yeah.
What's the biggest book, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. I love this next listener coming up. We've gotten to know her quite well.
So this fan story comes from Stefrana.
Stefrana. When you get married, I'm still going to call you Stefrana.
Yeah, I cannot call you anything else.
She joined us for Remus's character analysis on the Felix Files. So if you'd like to hear some more from Stefrana, check that out. So she says, hello, ladies. I've been a loyal listener for a whole year now, so I guess this is a good time to finally share my Potter story. My initial foray into the Potterverse was when I was 9 years old. The first movie was released that year, and I decided to read the first book before I went to see it. Smart, because I didn't do that. Being in fourth grade, it was a year or two above my reading level, so my teacher told my parents that it was too difficult and I shouldn't have been reading it. My parents had
Boo on that teacher.
Yes. My parents had some choice words for her and encouraged me to read whatever I wanted.
Yes.
With my parents' support, I devoured books 1 through 4, and from that moment on, I was completely enamored with the wizarding world. When Deathly Hallows was published 6 years later, I spent the better part of a day locked in my room reading, and I sobbed so hard when it was over.
Same.
I never picked up the books again after that because I didn't want to lose the feeling that they gave me the first time, so I spent the next 8 years watching the movies on pretty much a constant loop. It wasn't until probably my 50th rewatch of Half-Blood Prince that I realized I was so saturated with the movies that I couldn't remember most of the major plot points that the movies left out. Mm. I totally understand.
I did the same thing.
So I asked my now fiancé for a new set of books for Christmas.
Mm.
That first reread felt nearly as magical as it did 14 years earlier when I first picked up Sorcerer's Stone. I was halfway through my first year of grad school, and at this point, these wonderful books helped me through a really difficult adjustment period. Better yet, that reread set me up to eventually find all of you amazing people. I found Swish and Flick purely by chance, and since then, my love for this series has increased exponentially. This series has done more for me as an adult than it ever did for me as a kid. I'm much more confident being who I am, and it's brought me into a world full of awesome, like-minded Potterheads who always have my back. If someone had told little 9-year-old me that one day I would have friends halfway across the country and on the other side of the world because of Harry Potter, I would have thought they'd been confounded.
Yeah.
Much love to my Swisher fan, Stefrana.
Thank you, Stefrana.
Some parts of that literally gave me chills.
I love it.
I'm trying not to cry because it's so good.
It was just really
It really reminds me of... me.
Yeah.
And I didn't just read them once and set them down. Like, I did do multiple rereads, but I did saturate the heck out of myself with the movies.
Yeah.
And when we got together to talk Sorcerers that first time, it had been the first reread I had started in a while. Mm. And reading just the first one again was just kind of like, oh, this is magical.
Here it is.
Like, it's
home.
Yeah. So I get it, because I was like, oh my gosh. And then the more we would talk about it, I'd be like, is that a movieism or is that in the book? And I'm like, I need to stop. I want to read them more.
It just happened to me now. I did not realize that in the book, Harry does not see Peter Pettigrew. Hello.
No, he doesn't.
As much as I love Dan and Emma and Rupert.
There's nothing like, you know, the original.
I also wish that I would have done what she did and read the first book before I saw the movie, because then I would have had like my own ideas of what they looked yes. like. But to me, Hermione's always been Emma. Ron has always been Rupert, and Harry has always been Dan.
However, you
know, I think I read it before I saw it, but so I don't what? Remember what the I remember like. I pronounced Hermione incorrectly.
Hermione. Yeah.
I think I said Hermione or something like that in my head, and then you hear it on screen and I was like, oops.
Oh.
But as far as they looked, I'm not sure, because you do get the pictures in your head of what things should look like and be. And then when you see them on screen and you go back and read it, then you're just usually you'll picture what you see on the screen. But
I mean, I did get to experience the whole like picturing characters in the later books.
Right. I was going
to
say that.
But like I just with the trio, like I wish I would have had a chance to picture them in my head.
Yeah.
But
alas.
That's okay.
Side note, I actually really like a lot of fan art has Harry with like a darker skin tone. I actually really like it a lot.
Can we post some of that? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I have not seen that.
I really like it.
I've seen Hermione.
Well, yeah, I like Hermione.
It's headcanon, not headcanon, but like, well, she isn't said either way.
Yeah. Right. I think you should picture him however you want to picture him.
Yeah, because I read all the books that I think four were out before the first movie came out. Mm-hmm. And I read all of them before I watched the movie.
Did you love that Hermione had curly hair?
In the books, I did not like her hair in the movie because that was not good.
In the books, yes, when you read it, were you?
No, it wasn't. That is not curly hair.
It's bushy.
It's bushy.
All she says in the book is bushy.
Yeah, but
curly.
Like, there's a difference between like the stuff that they did to her hair and like actual, like you can tell like that's a fake bushy hair. Like,
we've talked about this so much. But in the books, in the books, did you like hearing that she had big curly hair? Like, like you?
Yes.
See, I love when you can see a bit of you in a character, and that's when you can really develop a love of reading.
That's what's good about her describing Hermione. She kind of leaves it up to you to, is she like, what color is she, her skin tone?
Because
she never really talks about it. Like all you hear is she's got big teeth, brown eyes, and bushy hair.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it. I like hearing something different from the norm because it makes you think. And you're like, well, why? What doesn't matter?
Why can't I have it this way?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see
it however you want.
Child
yeah.
With like that image of Hermione.
Yes.
So
I agree.
All right. Are there any more questions or are we going to move to our social media blip?
So we can be found on all of the different social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, we're Swish and Flick Podcast, or on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can also find us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. I actually just uploaded, well, this will have been a week ago, but I uploaded our beautiful video made by our Swisher fam to our YouTube page so that you can easily find it. If anybody who doesn't have Facebook, who hasn't seen the video yet, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the amazing anniversary video that our fans made for us, and it is amazing. So,
yes.
It's on our YouTube page now. Check it out. You can find us on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files and also a chance to be a guest on the Felix Files at patreon.com/swishflickcast. Thank you to all of our patrons. We love and appreciate all of you. Also, a huge round of patron packages just went out, so be on the lookout for them in the mail. You will get your purple envelope.
That deserved a double bell.
A double bell.
And lastly, all of this information and more can be found on our website, swishflickcast.com. You can find also all of our merchandise.
Yeah. Everyone looks good in swish swag.
Everyone.
Everyone.
I love my swish swag. Yes. I wear it proudly.
Yes.
All right.
So other projects that you can find Katie and I on are Grown Up Kids, a Disney podcast. We're doing a rewatch or a first watch of all of the Disney films in chronological order. We just did Lady and the Tramp this weekend.
Yes.
So go find that and listen to it. If you like Lady and the Tramp, it was a doggone good time.
What did she say?
He's a tramp. But they love him.
I don't know. Yeah, and if you want some other cool swag, head on over to Ocular Designs on Etsy. Pick up some Potter posters.
And handmade knitted house scarves and blankets.
Yeah, it's getting a little chillier out. It is today. It's rainy and karate outside. It so is. You want to prep for that winter coming up.
Prepare for Hurricane Florence.
I mean, by She's the time here. You listen to it, it'll be gone.
She better be gone.
This is her right here, all this rain.
Yeah, Florence.
Oh, Florence.
Not you, Florence.
What does she have to say about the hurricane?
I have nothing to say about the hurricane. How would you say that? How would you say, what did, I don't associate with the hurricane. Not the same.
All right.
I take no responsibility for it.
Good. Stay innocent. Stay innocent. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
I just wanted to pull up. I was gonna. Yeah, here they are. We'll talk a little bit about Ugadu. Ugadu. How do you pronounce the
Ouagadou?
Ouagadou.
I don't know.
The school?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wish that she put like a phonetic spell.
Yeah.
Ouagadou. Or it's probably like Ouagadou or something. You know what I mean?
I thought it's Ouagadou. Yes. She has a phonetic spelling.
Does she?
It's Ouagadou.
Ouagadou.
Or Ouagadou.
I think wet. Wagadu would be W-H-A, right?
Wah. Yeah, so Wagadu.
So Wagadu.
Yes. Wagadu.
Like, what? Wagadu, how about you?
All right.
Wagadu, Wagadu.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.